You're listening to Classical 95.9, WCRI Block Island, Exeter, the classical station.
Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project. And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments. From sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more, Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations and happy February. And as the first Sunday of February is kicking off tonight, I thought it would be a great idea if we could celebrate Black History Month. And I put a phone call into a good friend of mine, Valerie Tutson, for some of you, and asked her to come on the show and be with us tonight. And she said she'd love to, but she couldn't. So Val is not here, but she recommended someone that I've just met and have enjoyed greatly in just a few minutes we've spent together. His name is Frank Ward, and he is a bass baritone, opera singer, and welcome, Frank.
Thank you for having me on, Mike.
It's great to have you here. Frank has brought some very interesting music selections with him that we'll get to listen to tonight and talk about, well, lots of different kinds of music. But let's get a little bit more information about Frank and find out, first of all, where were you born? Where did you start out, Frank?
Well, I'm actually from the South, and my education was in the South. I did my undergrad at Morehouse College. Mm-hmm. My graduate work, I went to the University of Michigan. And then I started teaching while I was performing all over. I have just been continuing that. And then job relocations brought us here to Providence.
So you're in the Providence area now.
I'm in the Providence area. And I've been freelancing ever since I've been here. My wife currently teaches at a university here in the area.
And a university to be named later.
To be named later. She's at Roger Williams University.
Okay, great. I actually went to Roger Williams in the old days, a long time ago. But, yeah, that's great. So she teaches at Roger Williams.
And, she does.
And you have spent your life basically in music, right?
I have spent my life in music. I grew up singing music as a kid and in the church. Mm-hmm. And so all through middle school and high school, I was in the bands, the choirs, and so it was a very natural process for me when I went off to college to major in music. Mm-hmm. I guess the biggest difference coming in, you know, musically speaking as a kid, like many of my age, I was a Motown kid, so I listened to all of the Motown sounds, as well as gospel music.
Right.
So to go off to college then and all of a sudden to major in classically oriented music.
It was a little bit of a change.
It was a little bit of a change, but one I have not regretted at all.
Excellent, excellent. And when we talk about classical music, I'm sure there are lots of people in the Rhode Island area that have seen you, whether or not they know your name. I'm sure once we get going with the music, they'll go, that's where I know that voice from. So we'll find out about that. And when I originally spoke to Frank, I'm telling this to the audience at home now who's anxiously waiting. When I originally called you, Frank, I said, you know, let's put together some music that tells a little bit of a story. And I think that's what you've done for us today. So let's get to that, and then we'll get back to some more details about you. But let's start with some music here. You've got two pieces, rather short pieces that you brought with you. Tell us what we're going to start listening to here.
Well, since this is Black History Month, I thought we would start with the spiritual wade in the water. And spirituals began as a cappella group singing. Mm-hmm. And so the first setting you will hear is me singing the spiritual a cappella.
All right.
And then that will be followed by a performance of me singing it along with the Providence String Quartet. And the arrangement that you will be hearing is actually the H.T. Burley arrangement that's originally for voice and piano, but the quartet had it arranged for string quartet.
All right. We'll give that a listen, and then we'll be back with more of Frank Ward.
Wait in the water. Wait in the water, children. Wait in the water. Gossip gonna trouble the water. See that band all dressed in white. God's a gonna trouble the water. The leader looks like the Israelite. God's a gonna trouble the water. Wait in the water. Wait in the water, children. Wait in the water. God's a gonna trouble the water. God's a gonna trouble the water. I see God's a gonna trouble the water.
Frank, you mentioned that gospel singing started a cappella. As a huge fan, as most of my audience knows, of a cappella music and gospel music and the original, the old groups that go way back, mm-hmm. It was a call and response, which was a style of singing which started, I know, that in the world of barbershop quartet music, we've had some people that have done a lot of research and found out that a lot of the present-day barbershop quartets and a cappella groups really got their start with the black spirituals back from the Old South and that kind of singing.
You are absolutely right. You know, when we think of music and influence by African Americans, a lot of the cultures that existed in Africa, mm-hmm. when they were bringing the enslaved Africans to this country, they brought those cultures with them. Rhythm has always been a major part of African-American life. And so the drum was a major instrument for African-Americans. Well, when they were brought to this country and enslaved, they took the drums away. Mm-hmm. Drumming was no longer allowed. So even though they took away the drumming, they weren't able to take away the rhythms and the beats. They just moved into the body, which you still see in the movement and the dancing. Mm-hmm. It also moved into the singing. So call and response, also an African tradition that was brought over and has remained. So once all of these enslaved Africans sort of start learning how to speak English and some sense of a language, a unified language began. Singing was always there. So it was almost very natural that the spiritual would be the folk music, if you will, that they then created to help them survive that time.
Right.
And there are so many spirituals out there, and they were sung in a group setting, not as a solo. They weren't sung as vocal exhibitions. Mm-hmm. They were simply sung so that they were able to express their emotions, their feelings at that particular time.
Absolutely. Just another way of communicating.
Another way of communicating.
Right.
And so those songs were the mainstay for African-American life. And as I said, you know, in a group setting, you can take one spiritual, and that spiritual could go on forever because they would just go around the circle and everyone would make up a verse.
Mm-hmm.
If
mm-hmm.
you have 20, 30 people out there, everyone gets their turn to make up a verse. And so that's how these spirituals can just extend time-wise.
Right.
You know, what we have now, we have probably the most popular of the verses that survived.
Right, what was handed down from...
That was past
right.
time. Because yeah. again, you know, like their traditions in Africa, African Americans often work in the oral tradition. That is, we pass the stories down orally. They're not written down
mm-hmm.
in there. As my good friend Val talks about the griots, which we
right.
all share.
Right.
It's you know,
right.
it crosses the art forms, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, let's take another piece of music up here, and this one is has an interesting title called "Going Home." Tell us about this.
Well, "Going Home" is a piece that's often considered a spiritual, but it's actually not. When Dvorak came to America around 1891, he came here to New York to work at the National Conservatory. And his main purpose for coming here and why they brought him here was to help American musicians find their musical identity, if you will. All other countries had a particular sound that we associated with that country. So they brought Dvorak over here and said, help us find our American sound.
Hmm.
Well, when he arrived here, and as he listened and became a part of the area, the country, he stated, you have your American sound. Your American sound lies in the music of the Native Americans and the African Americans. You can imagine the surprise on the faces during that time, because that's not what they were expecting to hear. And to show that, his New World Symphony, which he completed in 1893, the second movement, the largo section, which we know as Going Home, he met H.T. Burley, who was a student of his. But H.T. Burley, being a wonderful musician and a bass baritone himself, sang a lot of spirituals to Mr. Dvorak, which is how he became very acquainted mm-hmm. with the spirituals, which is why Going Home is set in a way that's so similar to African-American spirituals, because he spent a lot of time with Mr. Burley. So he used that for his second movement. He also, Mr. Dvorak, encouraged his students to use Native sounds and African-American influences in their music. So one of his students, William Arms Fisher, actually was the one who took the largo section out of the symphony and then set it as the spiritual we know as Going Home. The music was already there, but he came up with the words, if you will, and he set it for voice and piano. And so that's the Going Home that we actually hear. I made some arrangements, some adjustments in there with the quartet. There's a middle section that I actually took out because I felt it wasn't quite in the same mode of a spirituals, because spirituals, they're a little more simplified in their verse refrain section.
Right.
And I wanted to take it more
Get towards that. Yep. Okay.
So that's the arrangement that you were here, the Going Home, with me along with the Providence String Quartet.
All right. We'll listen to Going Home now, and then we'll take a short break and be back with more of the very interesting Frank Ward. People at Roberts Musical Instruments know there are many folks out there who, like them, are passionate about music. They know because they are musicians. They teach, listen, repair instruments, and take the time to learn who their customers are. So when you step into Roberts Musical Instruments at Quaker Valley Plaza in West Warwick, you can expect to receive the very best in service and selection. Whether it be a piece of sheet music, a name brand instrument, a rental, a lesson, the right accessory, or an on-site repair, when it comes to all matters of music, you should tune into Roberts Musical Instruments. Welcome back to Conducting Conversations, and we're having a very pleasant evening speaking with Frank Ward, who is a Rhode Island resident now, we are fortunate enough to say, and a bass baritone and singer. And we have been talking about the African-American spirituals and music and Black History Month and trying to tie all that together. And Frank, if people are interested in finding out a little bit more about you, then they can go to a website, correct?
That's correct. It's pretty simple. My full name is frankwardjr.com.
And that's Ward, W-A-R-D. And so that's pretty simple, frankwardjr.com. And you can find out everything there is to know about Frank. And including, I guess, there would be some way on there for them to get recordings of you if they really wanted to do that. They could figure it out by getting...
That's true. I do talk about one recording that I did, the music of Adolphus Hellstork, who's a wonderful friend of mine and a wonderful composer. And I did a recording along with him and an organist, James Kosnick. And the name of the album is Amazing Grace. The organ music of Adolphus Hellstork. And so Professor Hellstork wrote this wonderful spiritual suite for organ that's quite demanding for the organist. And Kosnick does a wonderful job with it. But what he did, he had me to sing the spiritual first before his variation on the spiritual. So I think it's about five spirituals that we do. And that, and it's a very nice set. So you can get more information about that. It's on Albany Label.
Great. All right. Well, let's get back to the subject at hand and the music that you've brought with you tonight and kind of taking us along our tour. This next song title is kind of interesting because it's not a subject everybody wants to talk about. It's called A Death Song. Tell us about this.
Yes. Well, A Death Song takes us from... the format of spirituals, and we now move into the format of art songs. And for those who might not know, an art song is basically a poem that's set to music, and we call them art songs, and people will understand them by the term German Lieder, such as Schubert and Schumann, or the French chanson of Fauré and Ravel. In American, we call them art songs. And this particular piece, A Death Song, is based on a poem, or I should say is the text, of Paul Laurence Dunbar, our first African-American composer who actually gained national success. First African-American poet who gained success. The song is written by Howard Swanson, a composer who lived from 1909 to 1978. And he grew up in Atlanta, moved to Cleveland, Ohio, and studied at the Cleveland Institute of Music around 1919. So this is going on very early in the country.
Wow.
He won several awards, including a Rosenwald Fellowship, a Guggenheim Fellowship. He studied with the fabulous Nadia Boulanger in France, as did Aaron Copland and all the other greats. So, you know, this man has all of these wonderful accolades to him and, you know, it's written a lot of music. A Death Song is for voice and piano, and it talks about a person who is pretty much, who has lived a comfortable life, who has probably lived a long life. And who is content with his life and knows that death will, you know, come for him at some point, and he's content with it. When it happens, he's very content. There is nothing that he hasn't accomplished or that he needed to say. And the music is rather haunting in a lot of ways, but it creates this wonderful atmosphere. And I like to say, I think of the piece almost as being in two different tempi. The tempo of the singer when he comes in, which is a slower tempo. And then when you have this little musical interlude or this musical phrase that's constantly returning, it moves much faster. And to me, that's life. That's continuing on as I am slowing down.
All right, we'll listen to a death song now, and we'll pick up all those little pieces that you've talked about. Frank, I think we're going to change gears significantly now on this next tune that we go to. I can tell by the title that when the band plays ragtime, that we're probably going to be talking a little bit more of a festive type of feeling.
This is true. This is a really exciting new area that I have been researching. And that's because this comes from vaudeville and minstrel and musical theater era mm-hmm. of African-American composers from the turn of the century of 1900. And that's not a period of music that we really talk a lot about. And I have come across these wonderful songs from this era. And When the Band Plays Ragtime is one of those, written by Bob Cole and James Weldon Johnson. And of course, those two are incredible as a pair, but it was actually a trio when you add in his brother, J. Rosamond Johnson. They performed as a trio from about 1900 to about 1906, mm-hmm. writing all of these incredible tunes that were heard in vaudeville houses, in minstrel shows, and in some of the early musical theater shows.
Right.
They were very successful, and it was just really exciting to hear. And these particular songs are great, fun family entertainment, unlike what people think of when they think of the word minstrel.
Right, and predates, for example, the Fats Waller days, where the lyric and the things changed significantly.
Exactly, these guys, particularly the Johnson brothers, they were born in 1871 for James Weldon and 1873 for his brother. They sort of ushered in a new era of music, that you will, that had a lot of influences, even with people such as Jerome Kern. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, who was really inspired by them was George Gershwin. Mm. George Gershwin listened to a lot of their music when he was young and as he was preparing. And there was such a big influence in his life that as he was preparing Porgy and Bess, he got J. Rosamond Johnson to not only sing the role of Lawyer Frazier in the premiere of that work, but J. Rosamond Johnson also was the one to assist him with putting the chorus together for that work. So a major influence, and he remembered, he knew where he was borrowing his music from. He went to the source.
There you go. That's a great way to do it. All right, we'll listen to this tune, then we'll take a short break and be back with more of Frank Ward Jr.
The music of Yasuza and of all the other famous bands. If they're playing music that is classic, people sit and simply clap their hands. But you see the folks commence a smiling when the band hits up a ragtime tune. By the tapping of the drum, you can tell it's gonna come, and your feet will be a-moving pretty soon. When the band plays ragtime, everybody sings. When the band plays ragtime, it sets your help it, you just gotta kind of step it when the band plays ragtime. There's no earthly use in talking about it, though some high-toned people call it rot. Have to own up when they hear it, that it hits a mighty ticklish spot. No, it may not be very good for brain food, but the heart is where it touches you, and it makes you wanna dance, and you feel like you could prance. Oh, it seems to do you good all through and through. When the band plays ragtime, everybody sings. When the band plays ragtime, it sets your feet on springs. When the band plays ragtime, you feel like you've got wings.
You just gotta kinda step it when the band plays ragtime.
When the band plays ragtime, everybody sings. When the band plays ragtime, it sets your feet on springs. When the band plays ragtime, you feel like you've got wings. I declare you just can't help it. You just gotta kinda stop it when the band plays ragtime. Step it when the band plays ragtime.
The people at Roberts Musical Instruments know there are many folks out there who, like them, are passionate about music. They know because they are musicians. They teach, listen, repair instruments, and take the time to learn who their customers are. So when you step into Roberts Musical Instruments at Quaker Valley Plaza in West Warwick, you can expect to receive the very best in service and selection. Whether it be a piece of sheet music, a name brand instrument, a rental, a lesson, the right accessory, or an on-site repair, when it comes to all matters of music, you should tune into Roberts Musical Instruments.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. We are having a very pleasant evening speaking with Frank Ward Jr., who is a bass baritone, and getting all kinds of insight, at least I am, of things I didn't know. And it's great, Frank. Thank you so much for being here and
sharing
all of this with us. And I just asked Frank off air if he was going to be appearing anywhere in the near future, and you have something very exciting coming up. Tell us about that.
Yes. Every year, Boston Lyric Opera perform an opera that they take on tour, mostly for school-age kids, but there are weekend performances. Mm-hmm. And this year, the opera is Barbara of Seville, our popular Rossini opera, and I will be singing the role of Basilio in that. And I think the performances start around February 14, but the best way to get the actual dates is to go to the BLO website, which is blo.org.
All right.
And you can find the opera and all of the performing dates.
Excellent. Excellent. We'll look for you in that. All right. And we'll get back to the music now. This next piece that you brought is rather lengthy. So tell us how this was put together. Love Will Find a Way. Tell us about this.
Love Will Find a Way by Noble Sissel and UB Blake. It's a beautiful piece. And this song is actually from a musical theater that sort of changed Broadway. The name of the musical was Shuffle Along, and it was a very popular presentation when it came out in 1921, and it was so popular, I always forget which street it was, but the street that it was on was a two-way street, and it was so popular with so many people trying to see it, they turned the street into a one-way street to handle the flow of traffic.
Wow.
And the street is still a one-way street today. And so not only did it literally change Broadway, but it changed how people approached the stage. And one thing that was really interesting about this piece, it was the first time that a show featured an African-American male and an African-American female sort of singing a love duet that was sincere and that was not, tongue-in-cheek. And it became very popular, and it sort of set the trend for a lot of music to follow after this. And so originally, The Love Will Find a Way is actually a duet that sung in this musical, because I sing it as a solo piece. It's such a beautiful melody. And the refrain, somehow I think when the people hear it, they're going to think, I've heard that before.
Mm-hmm. That's never one of those songs.
It was
by,
you know, Noble Sissle and the wonderful UB Blake. UB Blake, who lived to be 100 years old, born in 1883, died in 1983.
Wow.
And I saw him on Good Morning America in 19, I think it may have been for his birthday, right around 82 or 83 when they had him on.
Amazing, amazing. Him and Irving Berlin, right?
Yes.
All right, we'll listen to this. As I mentioned, it's a little bit lengthy, so we're going to kind of come into the middle of it and listen to the finish.
Love will find a way. Though skies now are gray, love like ours can never be old. Cupid's not schooled that way. Dry each tear-dimmed eye. Clouds will soon roll by. The fate may lead us astray.
Once again, we've had so much fun talking about the background, a lot of this music. We have spent a little bit more time talking than we normally would. So let's try to get right to this next piece that you brought for us and tell us about that.
Elysium by H.T. Burley. Again, this moves in the art song tradition of music, similar to the Howard Swanson. The difference, that one was about death. This is about love. And this is along with the Providence String Quartet. And it's just a short little love song. The text is by James Weldon Johnson.
Oh,
Well, Frank, this has been an excellent way to kick off Black History Month, and musically, it's been just very refreshing to see someone like you that's so involved and has so much of the background and so much of the history to where this music comes from. Sounds to me like if you're willing, we definitely have to do another show together at some point.
I would love to.
And come back and get more information about this. But time flies when you're having fun, so we have to wrap it up. We have one song left that I think everybody will know the melody to this one.
I think it's probably the most popular spiritual of all. It's the ever popular Amen. And this one is arranged by Uzi Brown for voice and piano.
All right. Thanks once again, Frank. And Frank's website, if you'd like to look him up, is frankwardjr.com.
That's correct.
All right. Thank you, Frank. Great to have you with us.
Thank you.
See you next week, everyone, on Conducting Conversations. Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.